Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Banter on the Box. Before we get going with the next episode, I'd like to apologise in advance for a wee technical issue that we've had, meaning that unfortunately this time, myself and Jeanette are going to be audio only, as the camera has been very hitty-missy for some reason. I need to get to the bottom of it, potentially buy a new camera, but we shall see. So apologies in advance, guys, but this time it is audio only. However, I will very quickly show you the lizard so that you don't miss out on Jeanette holding the lizard up earlier. Here he is. Here is the lizard who will feature in the podcast. So before we dive in any further, I would like to show everybody a little bit of what Highland Equine Transportation Services has got up to this month. So here are a few of the horses we have transported since the last episode. I need coffee. Lots and lots of coffee.
Driving along the A9 and this thing just ran up my top, and
me being me, I just, you know, just flicked it off like that and just was like, oh my fucking god, what was that? And started crying, as you do as a woman, you
one
know?
Does, yeah.
So then I rang Steve, who was in Inverness getting his hair cut at the time. And he was like, Sam, what's wrong? Calm down. You have to talk slowly and tell me what's wrong. And I'm like, there's a lizard in my van. And he's like, fuck off.
I bet he didn't believe you.
No, he didn't.
I bet he was like, no, Sam, there's not a lizard.
He was like, FaceTime me. It's probably a little newt or something. Don't be so wet and just sort of deal with it, will you? You can deal with a horse, he says, but you won't
not a tiny lizard.
A tiny little newt. Anyway, I FaceTimed him and he went, oh yeah, that's a lizard. So I'm there like,
I know.
The lizard's in the van with the dog, and he's like, get the dog out. And I'm like, I can't because she hasn't got a collar or lead on. So like, the dog's looking at the lizard, the lizard's looking at the dog, and I'm like, I have no idea if the lizard's poisonous. I don't know. It was just a little lizard. But anyway, it was all good. Steve did not have to drive to Perth to rescue me and the dog from the lizard. And the horse did not suffer at all, because somehow I managed to keep the van straight on the road and just start crying, as one does. But yeah.
And the lizard also got
escaped, the
lizard, he got let go.
The lizard got captured and let go at Lizard Lay-By. Over the fence, by the way, not onto the A9 to get squashed.
Yeah.
No lizards
were harmed in the making. They weren't.
Or horses.
Or horses. I actually don't know how you didn't. I think genuinely I would have veered off the road.
I have no idea how I didn't veer off the road.
No.
It was just one of those moments. I was, you know, the poor thing had concussion though. It didn't have hit the dashboard with some
Well, problems. You don't tend to drive along the A9 expecting, of all things, a lizard to come off the shoulder. It's never happened to me. It could only happen to you.
Oh man. Like that man that night down at the lorry. When I was fueling the lorry that night, and I ended up there for 3 hours.
Oh, remember that story? That could again only happen to
you. It could only happen to me. But anyway, we'll tell this story another time.
That's for another podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a belter. So we're going to talk about worming, and nobody I know has more experience with worming and what can go wrong than Jeanette, so I am going to hand over to Jeanette and let her tell you all about her experience with encysted redworm. That's how you say it, isn't it?
Encysted redworm, yep.
With her two foals, Luna and Prince, and then we'll touch upon how we can worm better for the future.
So first we had little Luna, rest in peace, bless her soul, wee Luna. She was our Frisian youngster, and at 18 months she just took very ill very quickly. Called the vet, as you do. Vet came out. They didn't really know what was wrong with it at the time. She was just sort of lethargic, off her feed. She had lost a fair bit of weight, but with youngsters, I'm thinking, oh, she's got, excuse me, worms. So the vet had come out. He didn't think it was anything too serious at the time, but he ran emergency blood tests because it was quite late the night.
But you've been worming her really regularly.
Yeah,
as well,
really regular. So, and this is the thing.
Yeah.
She was being wormed really regularly because I was so worried about worms and youngsters, as you know, but he'd phoned back the following morning to say the blood tests had come back and they were sort of all over the place, and he believed at that point she had what they call cyathostomonosis. Now that took me a long time to even learn that word and get it right, but what it basically is encysted redworm, and what it does over, I believe, the summer months is kind of gathers in the gut wall of horses, young horses. It tends to be sort of 4 and under, I think, it tends to affect worse because they don't have obviously the immune system that older horses do.
We're not touching each other up, by the way, the dog's
no, this
sitting.
Is this is the dog.
We're not sitting.
This is little Willow.
Us.
Maybe you can see our little cute costume in a while. So yeah, he basically came back with these rush blood tests saying she had the cyathostomonosis, which was encysted red worm, and to follow a plan for a week of giving her, I think it was biosponge, is that right? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Biosponge, try and sort of harden up her stool and things, but as the week was going on, she was just getting more poorly, and by the time the vet came back out, the decision was made to rush her to Dick Equine Vets. Sadly, she didn't make it, and the following day, they had to euthanise her under animal welfare, because she just wasn't well at all, so that was poor Luna, and we were lucky enough to get Luna's full brother, also a Parisian foal. Well, what must have been about a year later, we got Prince, and within 5 days of owning Prince, we thought, surely not, he was displaying very similar symptoms to Luna. Called the vet out, the vet was very much, oh no, it won't be that. She, you know, he's not displaying the same symptoms, and I said, no, I believe he is. Following day, he came back out, which was Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. Of course, well, that could only happen to me.
Yeah.
Has to be Christmas Eve. And he actually believed he was better, but when he left, Lizzie and I were thinking, no, we can't leave this foal over Christmas, because he was just lying in the grass.
Yeah.
So you know what it's like, Sam, as a horse owner. You see a horse just lying in the grass with its face in the grass, and
you're
like,
doing it the other day.
Yeah, you've just had Frank doing it, we'll call
it. Frank had colic.
So you're just, you know, as a horse owner, they're not right. So we made the decision on Christmas Eve to rush him down to Dick Vets, and lo and behold, poor Prince did have encysted red worm. Thankfully, he made it, and after a very long worm program and regime strictly by them, he made a full recovery. Yes, thankfully.
And he's doing really well now.
He's doing really well now, bless him. He's a big 3-year-old. I was going to say foal, but he's not a foal.
He's not a foal anymore.
He's a very big 16-2 horse now, and miraculously he's done really well. But yeah, the importance of worming, I've definitely learned since that. Especially with young horses, because it does affect them more, doesn't it? Because they don't have the immune systems of older horses. So yeah.
I've got to put my hands up here and say that I am utterly terrible for forgetting to do my fecal egg counts.
We all are, though.
And I just brand wormers in, whether they actually genuinely need them or not, mm-hmm. which is probably really bad. Well, it is really bad, knowing what we know now about.
And there's also been some evidence to suggest that they can become immune to certain chemicals and certain wormers, can't they?
Yeah.
So obviously if we're worming them unnecessarily, they could obviously build up an immunity to that particular worm. So yeah, but I mean we all do it.
I've actually bought some wormers to do them this week because they're all due.
Yeah.
But I bought the tapeworm because that doesn't show up on the people.
No.
At all.
No.
You know, certain things don't, and you have to have a saliva test. I'm trying to think what that's for now. Is that roundworm?
Saliva test, that's tapeworm.
Tapeworm.
Yeah, isn't
saliva
it?
Saliva tests for the tapeworm. And there's blood test for encysted red worm now.
Which we actually did for Prince last year. A good time to do that, the vet had said, is between September and January. Because it's the winter months, they tend to erupt after encysting over the warmer months. And that's when the problem comes, because they all erupt then. Not nice.
No, absolutely not. And I'm so glad that Prince is with us still. Rest in peace, Luna, because she was really cute.
Oh, she was a sweetheart.
In fact, this wee thing looks like Luna.
She actually, it actually does, yeah. Bless her.
Bless her.
She'd be like 5 now.
She would.
She'd be 5.
I'm just pulling up a post about worming in for encysted red worm that I found on Facebook, and about fecal worm egg counts as well. I've got several here. I have a post here that I have shared, and someone has put about the 5 R's in the comments, which is the right product for the right type of parasite, the right animal, as in horse, the right time of year, the right dose rate, and administered the right way. Now, South Coast Equine Vet, which is Natalie McGoldrick Equine, often posts really valuable information on Facebook. I don't know if any of you follow her or see any of the posts, but I share some of her stuff quite frequently.
She's very informative, isn't she?
She's so good. Some of the stuff she puts on is amazing.
She gives a lot of good advice.
She does. It's honestly second to none.
Yeah.
Like, I was gonna put a quest in them all now, and I read this post and I bought Equimax for tapeworm instead. So it was this post that changed my mind as to what they needed. So it says, step away from the equest at this time of year. This, because it was posted in September, 26th of September. Just a little reminder that you should absolutely not be using Equest or Equest Promox during the spring, summer and early autumn months. It should be reserved for the main purpose of moxidectin, targeted the encysted stages of redworm. Redworm encyst into the gut wall when it is cold. The emergence of these encysted redworm as the temperatures warm up in March, April can result in fatal, I'm going to let you say that word, Jeanette, because you can say it,
Sciathostomonosis.
There we go. We only have two drugs that can treat encysted redworm, and there is already widespread resistance to one of them, fenbendazole. I'm really shit at this.
I don't know what that one is.
And rapidly developing resistance to the second one, moxidectin. So those must be the two drugs that can treat for encysted redworm.
Yeah, I think they are.
It's imperative that you do not use a Quest or a Quest Promox during the warm months unless specifically directed to do so by your vet. Lots of people correctly use worm egg counts during the spring and summer months, but some are then very dangerously worming with a Quest if they have high egg counts. This is both a waste of moxidectin, a danger due to helping increase the resistance to this drug, Do not waste moxidectin when it's warm. The whole point of the drug is that it treats encysted redworm. The redworm burrow into the wall to keep warm. It's as simple as that to understand. They need eradicating after they have burrowed, so after it gets cold and before it warms up in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. There is a clear message to everybody about when to use a Quest and a Quest Promox. So the second post, also from South Coast Equine Vets, Natalie McGoldrick Equine, is fecal worm egg counts. I will write a full worming post so everyone can look out for that. Soon, as promised, as soon as I have time, because she's just home from a colic when she did this post, but I feel the need to share this information on worm egg counts ASAP. Just because you do worm egg counts does not mean you do not need to worm. That is excellent advice.
Yeah.
If you are well aware of this and think I'm telling horse owners something they all know, then great. But there are a lot of owners I know who are not aware of this. More worryingly, there are yard owners running worming programs for their liveries who are also not aware of this. Worm egg counts do not detect the following: encysted redworm, tapeworm, pinworm, and bots. If you do not worm for encysted redworm once a year, using moxidectin as found in a Quest, and I recommend doing this after a good few hard frosts, then your horse could develop the fantastic word again, Jeanette.
Cyathostomonosis.
And die.
It did take me a long time to get that word.
Full worming post to follow soon, but please remember that you must still worm for encysted redworm and tapeworm, even if you carry out worm egg counts. Feel free to share, as every horse owner must know this. Okay, so two very important bits of worming information there. So yes, keep a lookout for those posts from Natalie on Facebook. I had that what do you call it, pinworm with Tommy last year, didn't it? Oh no, it was the year before. God, it's not long ago. So
I remember, I think it was the year before.
Yeah, it was the year before.
She said to me.
Yeah, I have to double dose them with Stronger to eradicate them, because we have a rather irresponsible person sharing the field with us who didn't think to worm her youngster at all. And also then didn't think to tell me. Heard something bang. Quite windy here, as you could probably hear.
Yeah.
And the shed door's probably just fell off its hinges, which is what Willow's run off.
Oh, that's maybe what it is.
It's okay, Willow. Are you joining in the podcast?
She's like, yeah.
So poor Tommy ended up with pinworm, which he did not need, but I ended up going. Oh, that was the back door of the lorry that
floated
the wind.
Sorry.
So yeah, I had to double dose him with Stronger P to get rid of those, and I think I did it again with a double dose 2 weeks later because he was still putting out worms.
Yeah.
Because she didn't, well, nobody informed me. It was actually a responsible yard owner where this lady had ended up and managed to spread it to the entire yard. And then obviously I got told about it. I looked like a bit of an idiot going around dettoling all the trees where Tommy was stripping his bum to stop them. Because he was trying to scratch his bum because it makes them itch.
It does. Yeah.
So there I was going around with my Dettol spray and spraying all the trees.
You're taking your Dettol obsession to a new level.
I even put Dettol in my screen wash, guys.
Oh my god. Do you actually?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it smells lovely.
I bet it does actually. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of Dettol.
Never thought of that. Ingenious.
Clean windscreen as well. Totally
sterile.
So way forward, Dettol fixes everything.
It does. It does.
Oh man, so
it's a bit like bit wrap and duct tape.
Yeah,
in the horse world.
Duct tape is amazing.
If you don't carry these things in your car.
I've got the corner duct tape on after Frank kicked it the other week.
Yeah, but it works and it holds. There isn't a lot in life that duct tape and bit wrap can't fix.
Oh, exactly.
That's what I find.
Nope. Always carry duct tape.
Staple things to have in your car.
Yeah.
Always.
Dettol.
potato.
Scissors.
Scissors.
Vet wrap.
Vet wrap.
Bale twine.
Yes. Yeah.
And duct tape.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Maybe the occasional screwdriver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if your car's in pieces.
All of those things.
You're good.
Seriously, like I hit a deer. last week before on the way down to the Caledonian Championships. It just, well, you know what deers are like. They just
can't avoid it, they just jump out.
I was doing 60 at the time on a joe carriageway with a horse on board, so I wasn't going to swerve or brake.
No.
So the poor deer got obliterated, as did the front of my barn and my radiator.
And your radiator.
So, duct tape came in very handy to tape up the bumper, so...
Prime example of why you should carry it. Why you should carry it.
Scissors to cut the duct tape. Dental, because it smells nice.
I bet you have all these things in your van, anyway.
Genuinely do. Yeah. Genuinely do, yeah. I carry a first aid kit as well, so I've got that up. And I always carry a good length of baler twine, because you never know when you're going to need baler
twine. You don't, though. You don't. It's always handy.
I was carrying a full loose in here, so I had the partition pinned in at the very end, so that they got 3/4 of the box. And the horse leaned against it so hard it snapped the pin that goes through.
Oh no.
And I had to tie the partition together with baler twine until I got a new pin. So again,
baler twine
to carry,
yeah,
all of these things. Yeah, the joys.
They're necessities, aren't they?
They absolutely are.
Got to have them.
Man.
What else, creepy crawly, have we got to talk about?
Oh god, yeah, there's so many. Bots is one of them. It's not a massive thing in this country.
No, it's not, is it?
Yet, but they reckon with the global warming and things getting warmer here, that bots could become a problem here. So
oh, really?
It's not something that people are very educated on, because we haven't really had to worry about it too much. But there have been cases of them.
But I have heard of cases of them, but like you say,
they live in the gums, and they burrow into the horse's gums.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, apparently so. And they can drive your horse wild, like they fly around the horse's head to confuse the horse, and they won't let your horse eat, so your horse then gets stressed. And they do that so that they can then get free access to the horse to lay their eggs.
Good.
And it's only, and the eggs then irritate the horse and make the horse itchy, so the horse then itches and uses its mouth to itch and then ingests the bots.
Ah, okay.
And then they go into the gums and into the stomach lining, and then they get pooed out and they burrow into the ground for a bit, and then they only live for a few days after they come out, after they come out of their ground burrow. So yes, that's why sometimes you've got to be really careful and poop a coffin.
Yeah.
Again, it helps for worming, and if there are bots underneath, you can see where they've burrowed under the poo. So
wow.
Yeah.
I've not really heard a lot of, but I have heard of them, but like you say, it's not a massive thing here, is it?
No, it's mainly warmer countries. But America seems to be really places. Bad for it, but but yeah, they reckon that, you know, maybe in 5-10 years time we could be looking at a different thing because it is going to get warmer here.
Yeah.
The climate's going to change. I personally think we're in for another ice age, which would kill everything anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, it would.
Just
recently, before we went to Greece a couple of weeks ago, Prince had, I think it's roundworm, the long white ones.
Yeah.
Are they roundworms?
It could be tapeworm as well, because they all look pretty similar.
Oh, do they? Oh, see, it could have been tapeworm then, but I mean, they're quite big. There's a couple of them that are that kind of length. So because of his history, we kind of made the decision just to worm him. But then I'll put in another test and see. I think they've been eradicated, because there's no more being found in his poo, so I think we're on top of it. But yeah, there's all these kind of different worms, isn't
there?
So many.
One that I have to watch out for a lot is ringworm.
All right.
Because it's contagious, but highly contagious.
It is highly contagious, isn't it?
And you would not believe the amount of people that book onto a shared load and try and give me a horse with ringworm. Like, honestly.
Have you had to refuse?
Oh, several times. There was one lady I did a transport job for once, she bought 2 cobs and they both had ringworm. So
yeah.
For me, I could take them because they already both had ringworm, and the lorry was not going to get used in between transporting them again. So I transported them, fully disinfected the lorry when I got back, like with hot water to within an inch of its life, and went to Harbro and bought some insecticide stuff and sprayed that on the inside of the lorry before anything else then got transported. But that's a very rare one-off sort of chance that somebody bought 2 horses that both had ringworm. So yeah, if I'm doing shed loads and things like that, I can't take a horse with ringworm, unfortunately. It's
Well, no, you can't.
I just can't, because I can't risk infection to other horses.
No.
And that goes with saying all infectious diseases and stuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
I also do try and keep an eye out on all horses' poos in the lorry, because we all know there's all owners out there that don't check regularly.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if I check that there's, you know, worms in poo and I'm cleaning the lorry out, then I can inform owners, you know, that maybe their horse might need a worm.
Yeah.
Or something. So, but yeah, we've got feather mites, we've got ticks. Oh. So much. We were going to touch on all of it, and we were going to be here for hours.
Yeah.
But we're not going to bore you with that.
Yeah. And we don't have the time.
We genuinely do not have the time to get through that today.
Yeah, not today.
Not today.
We could do a part two.
We could. We're going to have to. We're going to have to touch on the rest.
A part two. Feather mites and all that.
Yeah.
Lovely, jubbly beasties that we get with horses.
Yeah. All the lovely things. I tried to find some worming horror stories. I did read one. And then I couldn't find it again afterwards to save it.
Typical.
So, but it was basically along the lines of the horse that had tapeworm and hadn't been treated for it. And eventually the worm started coming out through the horse's nose and it died not long after. Oh. And I was like, could you imagine going to find your horse?
Could you imagine?
With worms coming out of its nose. And having left it that long.
But how bad must the burden have become?
To get to the point
where the worms are coming out of
the horse's nose, yeah.
That wouldn't happen overnight, would it?
No.
That would have taken a good while.
And then I read another story of another horse, I can't remember what worms it had now, but the horse looked healthy, there was no reason, and it recently had a fecal egg count that had come back like at 50 or something, quite low. Mm-hmm. So nothing, the owner didn't think she needed to worm, again, we're touching on what Natalie was saying. The horse just went out in the field, looked healthy, walked across the field, collapsed and died, and was full of worms.
Then they did the post-mortem
on the horse. It was full of worms.
Full of worms.
So it is easy to not notice as well.
I did actually see a video not that long ago, and it was a Frisian horse on, I think it was TikTok. Quite a young horse, not a foal, but quite a young horse, and its owner had noticed it had worms, but it became very ill very quickly.
Yeah.
And they rushed it into surgery, and when they showed a video of opening up the intestines, and literally it was the scariest thing, all these massive white worms just erupted.
Yuck.
The horse lived, it made it through the surgery and it made a recovery, but I think that was very lucky, because the amount 100%. Of worms, as they opened the intestine, they literally just spilled out, you know, and I was thinking, how does it get to that level? You must have to leave it for quite some time, you know, for the worms to become that bad, but yeah.
Absolutely.
So there is quite a lot of horror stories.
It's so scary, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's how quickly it can happen that scared me with both the times that Urge had it, because they seemed relatively normal.
If you want some spooky pictures of tapeworm in the gut, then Google it, because you will see some horrific pictures on Google.
As it's Halloween, give it a Google. There'll be some...
I
think Willow's having a feast on something.
Well, please don't eat all my podcast tools.
Yeah, no.
No. I don't know what she's up to. She's up to something. Are you Willow the Witch? She's dressed up as a witch.
Yeah.
I'll try and include a picture of her.
She's so cute. You've got to try and get a picture in.
She's not for the camera.
I tried to put her little hat on her, which is adorable.
She wasn't.
She's not really for the hat. For Willow. I think she's sick of me now.
So, time's getting on, isn't it?
Yeah.
You need to go.
So, I will have to.
We will very, very quickly record the bonus content for Apple subscribers, and I'll see if I can add it to anyone else and let you guys know. But on that note, thank you very much for listening to us about shit again.
We're good at that.
Another episode of Banter on the Box. And like and subscribe.
Yeah, like and subscribe.
And we shall see you next time. Bye.
Bye.